This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Might the federal government lend new help not to just insolvent Puerto Rico, but to those who invested in it? From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Details are emerging about a plan in the U.S. Congress to help resolve Puerto Rico's debt crisis. House Republicans are putting together a bill that would create a powerful oversight board for Puerto Rico. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has details.
Published reports say the oversight board would be able to subpoena documents from the Puerto Rican and U.S. governments. The reports say the board would be able to audit Puerto Rico's government looking for savings and would eventually decide how much of Puerto Rico's debt should be restructured. The Treasury Department says all of the island's $72 billion worth of debt should be eligible for restructuring. Puerto Rico's creditors are watching the process closely. But the chairman of the House Committee on Natural Resources, which is in charge of the process, said Puerto Rico's government, quote, lacks the capacity to effect change over its finances. And Puerto Rico still hasn't handed over audited financial statements the committee wants. The only way to get them, the chair says, is through a strong control board. Some Democrats want Puerto Rico to have more of a say in the process. Congress passed a law in 1984 that says Puerto Rico can't declare bankruptcy under a U.S. law that allows states to put struggling cities into bankruptcy.
Nancy, thank you. Most financial markets are closed around the world. The Dow goes into this Easter weekend down 1.1% for the year so far. The S&P 500 is down 1.2% year to date, and the NASDAQ down 2.1% since New Year's. The Shanghai Stock Exchange did trade today, gaining 0.5%. We are about to get a report on the U.S. economy that may generate a sense of foreboding. It's a revision of gross domestic product, GDP, due in an hour and a half. It may show growth at an annual rate of just 1% for the last 3 months of last year. From the Marketplace desk at OPB, here's Mitchell Hartman.
There were a bunch of things dragging us down late last year, says Steve Murphy at Capital Economics. Weirdly wet weather, plunging oil prices, China, Europe, Brazil, all flailing around.
Yes, GDP slowed in the final quarter of last year, but there's nothing that points to that being a sustained downturn or anything too concerning.
What was concerning was the stock market fall and wild gyrations in January and February, but that's mostly behind us.
Right now, if you look at fundamentals in the United States, we're seeing decent growth somewhere around 2.5%.
Joe Bruswellis at consulting firm RSM ticks off those fundamentals.
Very strong job growth, decent recovery in housing, and of course, auto sales, and even consumer retail sales in luxury, entertainment, and accommodation.
2.5% growth would have seemed mediocre back in the 90s, but after the shock of the Great Recession, that may be as good as it gets. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
There's a report today that Playboy Enterprises is looking for a buyer. The Wall Street Journal calculates the sale could generate $500 million. Playboy used to be a public company, but the last trading for that stock was back in 2011. Playboy magazine just overhauled itself to take better advantage of online, digital, and dropped the naked. The objectification of women is probably still there. Business of entertainment now, on the day the movie Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice comes out, and a moment of truth for Warner Brothers. Marketplace's Adrian Hill joins us now from Los Angeles. Hey, Adrian.
Hey, David.
So what are the stakes for the studio Warners?
Well, it's got to feel like the fate of the planet really rests on the success of this film. Warner Brothers had a rough year at the box office last year, and its hopes really have been riding on Batman versus Superman. The studio spent something like $250 million on the movie itself, reportedly another $150 million or more on marketing. So it's a lot, even by Hollywood standards. But more than that, they're hoping this is going to launch the whole DC comic movie universe franchise to rival some of the success that Disney has had with Marvel.
You know, funny, though, I was just thinking what the world really needs right now is more superhero movies.
Right? I mean, they're where the money is right now, so you got to milk it. Deadpool had made more than $700 million. The most recent Avengers brought in nearly $1.5 billion, and Warner Brothers wants in on that. So there's a whole slate of DC films they have planned. Wonder Woman, The Flash, two Justice League films. They're working on plans for a movie about Aquaman, all told something like 10 movies over the next 5 years, sort of riding on the success here, or hopeful success, if you're Warner, of Batman v Superman.
And not to spoil the party here, but do the reviews I've been reading make any difference at all? They've not been good, but I guess they spent $150 million on marketing, so who cares?
Right. Well, you got to be nervous, I think, if you're Warner Brothers. What I have read so far about that is everyone expects opening weekend will be big. The question is whether or not this movie can have the sort of tail that Avengers has had, that Star Wars had before that. If people are disappointed, they're not going to tell their friends. It's not going to be the kind of thing that goes and goes and goes. So we'll see.
Now, Adrian, I understand before we go that one of the earliest meetings on record of Batman and Superman happened on the radio?
It did. By some accounts, the very first time they hung out was back in 1945 on a radio show called The Adventures of Superman. And I dug up the first couple parts of a show called The Mystery of the Waxman. So here, Superman rescues a nearly drowned Robin, who tells him, dum dum dum, Batman has disappeared.
Incredulously, Superman stares down at the white-faced boy. Batman, the most powerful and spectacular human in all the world, save for Superman himself, has disappeared. What can this mean?
It means, of course, a thrilling adventure. But I've been unable to find the entire episode, so maybe our listeners can help dig up the rest of it for me. But in that episode, as best as I can tell, this is going to be Batman and Superman working together, not fighting.
And not having emo moments of self-doubt either. Marketplace's Adrian Hill, thank you very much.
Thanks, David.
The U.S. stock and bond markets are closed today as we get into the Easter weekend, as I had said. Our senior producer is Nicole Childers. Stephanie Hughes produces Marketplace Tech. I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.